Penguin Random House Audio presents Wild Problems, A Guide to the Decisions That Define Us by Russ Roberts. Read for you by Mark Deakins. Tastes, smells, the sensations of heat and cold, beauty, pleasure, all the affections and appetites of the mind, wisdom, folly, and most kinds of probability, with many other things too tedious to enumerate, admit of degrees, but have not yet been reduced to measure, nor, as I apprehend, ever can be. Until our affections and appetites shall themselves be reduced to quantity, and exact measures of their various degrees be assigned, in vain shall we essay to measure virtue and merit by them. This is only to ring changes upon words, and to make a show of mathematical reasoning, without advancing one step in real knowledge. Thomas Reed, An Essay on Quantity, 1748. Most of the profoundly important activities, relationships, and forms of knowledge that human beings pursue are ones a person can fully appreciate and integrate into her value system only once she is well acquainted with them. Agnes Callard, Aspiration. The only thing that makes life possible is permanent, intolerable uncertainty, not knowing what comes next. Ursula K. Le Guin, The Left Hand of Darkness. Human beings are not born once and for all on the day their mothers give birth to them, but that life obliges them over and over again to give birth to themselves. Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Love in the Time of Cholera. The need for certainty is the greatest disease the mind faces. Robert Greene, Mastery. 1. Wild Problems. A few years ago, a friend and I were out walking, and he told me that he and his wife were struggling with the decision of whether to have a child. He told me they had made a list of the costs and benefits of children, and after having done so, they still weren't sure whether it was a good idea. My friend asked for my advice. I told him that you don't have a child because it's worth it. I didn't have much else to tell him. I didn't think to ask him whether he and his wife thought they had any idea of what becoming a parent was really like. Before you have children, the costs you can imagine, less time for work and play, limited vacation options, money spent on diapers, clothes, food, education, and so on, dominate any imaginable benefits. Having children might then seem irrational. Yet many parents, including myself, will tell you that their children are central to how they see themselves and how they experience life. Many parents would say that having children gives their lives meaning. How can we understand that disconnect? Whether to have a child is what I call a wild problem, a fork in the road of life where knowing which path is the right one isn't obvious, where the pleasure and pain from choosing one path over another are ultimately hidden from us, where the path we choose defines who we are and who we might become. Wild problems are the big decisions all of us have to deal with as we go through life. A lot of wild problems can give us butterflies and make our hearts ache. Knowing which path is the best one can't be answered until we arrive in that distant land known as the future, a land we know fully only when we arrive. That tends to unnerve us. Lacking nerve, we procrastinate. How should we proceed, then, especially if we want to make a rational decision? An obvious strategy is to import help from other challenges we've faced and know how to solve. To beat the traffic or develop a vaccine against the coronavirus, for example, we rely on data, algorithms that can be tested, and experiments that can be replicated. For certain problems, I call them tame problems, the relentless application of science, engineering, and rational thought leads to steady progress. But the big decisions we face in life, the wild problems, whether to marry, who to marry, whether to have children, what career path to follow, how much time to devote to friends and family, how to resolve daily ethical dilemmas, these big decisions can't be made with data or science or the usual rational approaches. I was trained as an economist at the University of Chicago. We were taught that economics is the guide to making rational choices in life. we were taught the importance of trade-offs and what is called opportunity cost, what we give up when we choose one thing over another. We were taught that everything has a price. Everything involves giving up something to have something else. Nothing is of infinite value. I have come to believe that when it comes to the big decisions of life, those principles can lead us astray. Carved into the wall of the building that houses the economics department when I was a graduate student at the University of Chicago is a quote from Lord Kelvin. When you cannot measure, your knowledge is meager and unsatisfactory. The modern world has taken Lord Kelvin to heart. First, the sciences, and increasingly the social sciences, and even the humanities, have embraced the idea that measuring, collecting data, and improving the process that produces the measurement and using those measurements to get stronger, more productive, and healthier is the road to a better life. But wild problems resist measurement. What works for you might not work for me, and what worked for me yesterday might not work for me tomorrow. Wild problems are untamed, undomesticated, spontaneous, organic, complex. They're a whole different beast compared to the tame problems where the standard techniques of rationality move us steadily forward. Through most of human history, authority and tradition, the kings who ruled us, our parents, the religion we were born into, the culture surrounding us, tamed the wild problems we faced. The kings are dead. Religion's hold steadily loosens. Tradition? We shuck it off and imagine ourselves as blank slates where we hold the chalk and can draw ourselves the way we'd like to be, free of all constraints. Tame problem. Goals are clear and objectively assessed. Wild problem. Goals are subjective and hard to measure. Tame problem. How to get to Chicago from New York. Wild problem. Whether to go to Chicago. Tame problem. Techniques for success can be tested and verified. Recipes work. Wild problem. There is no manual, roadmap, recipe, or algorithm for success. Tame problem. Making an omelet. Wild problem. Writing Hamlet. Tame problem. Claims can be verified. Results can be replicated. Wild problem. Paths to success don't replicate. Tame problem, science. Wild problem, craft. Tame problem, landing on the moon. Wild problem, parenting. Tame problem, increasing the battery life of a cell phone. Wild problem, choosing a career. Tame problem, the secretary problem, see Chapter 7. Wild problem, deciding who to marry. Tame problem, checkmate in three moves. Wild problem, life. What was once destiny is now a decision. That's glorious, but it's also challenging and often disquieting. Choice offers the potential for a better life. But how do we navigate this landscape of freedom when there's no recipe or algorithm or app to tell us what to do? One answer to the challenge of wild problems is to try to measure what you can and do your best to quantify what you can't. That seems better than nothing, and the very process of gathering more information settles your nerves. You're making progress toward the right answer, you tell yourself. You're taking a step in the right direction. But it can be a step in the wrong direction. If you're not careful, you're like the person under the streetlight searching for lost keys. "Did you lose them here?" asks a passerby who volunteers to help. "No," says the seeker, "but the light's better here." Using a flashlight to make the area under the streetlight even brighter might seem like a rational response. But if the keys are far from the light and deep in the shadows, you're only fooling yourself into thinking you're getting closer to finding them. By focusing on what you know about and can imagine, you're ignoring the full range of choices open to you. When I made a similar point on Twitter, one of my followers framed the challenge well with a question. If the important things are hard to measure and the measurable things misleading, what kind of decision framework is left? This book is my answer to that question, and it's what I would have told my friend struggling with his wild problem of parenthood if the walk we took that day had been a lot longer. I can't tell you whether you should marry or have a child or go to law school. What I'll do here is
sample complete. Ready to continue?